NASA's Sungrazer project just discovered its 5,000th comet. JP's new update, the ant people move to a new realm after the ant king transitions and the sleeping giant awakens. The UK government is making the necessary preparations for an official announcement on the discovery of extraterrestrial life. Congressman Tim Burchett says that the US House of Representatives will hold more hearings on UFOs and hear from additional UFO whistleblowers. The Indiana governor issues a statewide emergency declaration for the April 8 solar eclipse. China's International Lunar Research Station initiative just got a major boost with Thailand signing on as the ninth country. These stories and more on Exopolitics Today, the Week in Review.
You're listening to Exopolitics Today with Dr. Michael Sala, your source for the uncensored truth regarding the human, extraterrestrial, global, and political agenda. Click the like button and subscribe to this channel. And now, here's Dr. Michael Sala.
Welcome to the April 6th edition of Exopolitics Today, the Week in Review. There has been quite a few developments this week that are worth looking at. So let's start at the initial tweet that I wanted to cover, which is this announcement by NASA that it has discovered its 5,000th comet through the Sungrazer project. And that's a project that involved the creation and the sending up of the Solar and Heliospheric Observatory in 1995. And in the 29 years ever since, it's recorded 5,000 comets. But also, it's recorded other things that NASA doesn't want you to know about, which is giant motherships, cubes, spheres, all sorts of anomalies entering and leaving the sun. And these have been discussed by researchers that have been examining the SOHO data. Now, in all these cases where these kinds of objects were sighted, you had NASA and the European Space Agency that were partners in the SOHO project. They were always saying that these anomalies or these motherships, giant cubes, giant spheres, giant space sphere or giant saucer-shaped craft in the vicinity of the sun, entering it and so forth, that these were glitches, anomalies, malfunctions. So it just shows that even when NASA's own instruments record spacecraft in space, that the scientific instruments that were set up there and people examine these, researchers examine these, nevertheless, despite that empirical data, this will still be dismissed. So, you know, this is very significant because, you know, people today are saying, well, we need more empirical data, that when it comes to UAPs, it's all about getting better recordings of the data. So if you look at, say, the Galileo project headed up by Harvard University's Avi Loeb, you look at those kinds of scientific enterprises that say that, well, we need better data. You know, we know from the past that when you do have empirical data that is out of alignment with the official narrative, that it's dismissed. So that's been going on for quite some time. So that's very significant. I think that this Sungrazer project continues. There's more and more objects that are coming from there. And this is something, oh, here we have like some of these craft or some of these things that, let's have a look, some of these things that come out. Example, these kinds of anomalies that have been recorded ever since it came out. So the SOHO data records all kinds of interesting objects entering and leaving the sun, and they're not necessarily comets. Some are, but not all of them are. So that's well worth keeping in mind. Okay, so here's a major development. For those that have been following the testimony of Corey Good, I began working with him, I think it was March of 2015. And, of course, his testimony on secret space programs was galvanizing. It was really the most in-depth, detailed descriptions I ever heard. And one of the things that was a foundation of Corey Good's testimonies, and I never really had any problems with Corey Good in 2021. We had a falling out, but it was a substantive falling out. It was really just over what he called hopium, that people putting out information that the negative extraterrestrials have left our solar system, that he called that hopium, and I disagreed. And so there was a parting of ways, but prior to that, we never had any real issue. But I was very surprised during his court case, during a deposition that he gave, that he said that all that he had never traveled into space physically. And that was contrary to what he told me, what he told David Wilcock, what he told others. Now, people have speculated about this, why in his deposition did he say he had not physically traveled into space when during his interviews with me, David Wilcock and others, it was pretty consistent that, yeah, he traveled into space. Many, many examples he gave of physically traveling there. But he now says in his deposition that he had never traveled into space and that he had made it up, and that the reason he was doing that was because he would have a higher chance of winning his court case based on all of his material being his intellectual property. So that was the motivation for him coming out and disavowing what he had earlier said. So now we actually have the court case where, you know, it involved some of his intellectual property claims. And this is the lawsuit against Gaia and Jay Widener. And major elements of it were dismissed by the judge. And that was, I think, pretty clear dismissal of the claims of slander, defamation, and so forth. But definitely it was, I think, quite ironic that he would backtrack on his testimony that he gave to me and others so he could win a court case that he eventually loses, or at least major elements of that court case have been lost. Well, here's an update by JP, update number 31. Actually, I think it might be update number 32. We got our numbers mixed up, but nevertheless, JP, goes into an underground realm that he had visited before, and he saw the ant, where he saw the ant king, and there were people there, or humans there, that were had taken refuge in this ant civilization over the prior centuries, and who knows how far back in time the humans were in that ant kingdom, but there were humans there along with the ant people. So when and JP in his earlier mission there about a year ago, he saw this ant king and had a private audience with him. But now he goes back and the ant king and all the ant people are gone. It's only the human refugees that are there, and they're kind of like more or less taking care of that area. And the ant people say that they have moved to a new realm where there is a new king. And that new king is someone that just awakened. So we're trying to confirm all of this, exactly who it is. But according to what JP knows now and our speculations, we think it's the sleeping giant that he saw during his first mission to an underground ant people colony. And that giant, we suspect or we believe, is the Sumerian scientist Anunnaki. I'm sorry, actually, it's the Anunnaki scientist Ningish Zida. who in the Americas is known as Quetzalcoatl or Viracocha, so forth. So very exciting, because JP says that he is going to be doing another mission there, and he will probably get to meet with this awakened giant who has now taken over or is now in control of a new realm. So I'm not exactly sure what has transpired in terms of all the other ant colonies. JP's intel in doing the mission was to go underground and find out what had happened to all the ant people, because apparently the Earth Alliance or Space Command, whoever's running the underground opposition or the underground operations on Earth, as far as the United States is concerned, that could be Northern Command in the US. They had the question, what happened to the ant people? They disappeared. And according to what JP's discovered, they are in a kind of higher dimension. And that's very interesting, because Radu Cinema, in his book series, one of the books is called The Inner Earth. And he described that as you go deeper and deeper into the Earth, you actually hit higher dimensions or higher densities. And he says, and that's why scientific instrumentation isn't accurate when it comes to what's in the Earth's core. Or scientific instrumentation is all based on the seismographic data that's accumulated with seismographs going into the interior of the Earth, and they speculate from the data that the Earth has this kind of molten core, and then it has an outer core and so forth. But according to the information from Radu Cinema, as you go deeper and deeper into the Earth, you hit higher densities, and modern electromagnetic equipment or waves don't work. And so what he says is that in the center of the Earth, rather than there being an iron molten core, which what scientists speculate, and it is speculation because of the empirical data that they've got, that they think it's coming from the center of the Earth, but it's really just a reflection of the data bouncing off one of the layers, like on the Earth's mantle, that according to Radu Cinema's information, that the center of the Earth, you have a sun, a high-density sun. And then you have other higher-density realms around that, like Shambhala. So that's very interesting, because what that suggests is that this new king that is now in charge of the ant people, that he has moved into one of these deeper density layers, and that this is where the ant people reside. So it's just a little bit deeper in the earth, in a cavern. So, you know, this is all very interesting. If you read the Radu Cinema books, they explain how this process operates. So that's JP's last update. Okay, here's something that I thought was very interesting. Okay, so this is a tweet or an X about the British government saying that there is an effort. So there was a meeting or a committee meeting within the United Kingdom. So I'm not sure if this is actually Parliament or one of the committee rooms in the UK Parliament. And parliamentarians or a committee appointed by the Parliament were responding to questions about the existence of extraterrestrial life and how they would announce the discovery of that life. And what was said was that the British government has started plans for announcing both the discovery of microbial life elsewhere and also intelligent life. So this is very interesting that the British government are actually taking steps to make announcements. And this is consistent with what I covered about 3 weeks ago. There was a story in one of the major British tabloids, I believe it was the Telegraph, where it said that the British government or British scientists had a three-step plan for announcing the discovery of extraterrestrial life using the James Webb Space Telescope. So British scientists have a plan. First, that would be the discovery of microbial life using the James Webb Space Telescope. Then there would be an announcement discovering the James Webb Space Telescope would discover biosignatures that would confirm the existence of microbial life. The second level would be the James Webb Space Telescope would discover technosignatures, which would indicate the existence of intelligent extraterrestrial life. And the final step would be that they're here amongst us. So this parliamentary meeting in the UK is showing that this is actually a very real process that the Britain scientific community is developing. So that is very good. Okay, so here is a new video that's just been put out about the Galactic Spiritual Informers Connection Conference that's going to be held in September in Colorado, just near Denver. So, well, there you are. So it's going to be Denver, Colorado. It's going to be in September. And so, yeah, this is going to be a really great way to get the latest information on what is happening with the different extraterrestrial visitors associated with the Galactic Federation and with the what is happening with the US Space Command, the Earth Alliance, the Hub, and so people that have attended the two earlier conferences, they will be very happy to see that we have the same core team there: Elena Danan, Jean-Charles Moyen, myself, Alex Collier will be making an appearance, and there'll be some new people as well. Tony Rodriguez will be there. So definitely worth signing up for that event in September in Denver. And there's going to be a surprise as well for those of you that have been following the JP information, but an announcement about that will be forthcoming. Okay, so let's look at this particular tweet, and this concerns the 2024 global assessment of space weapons possessed by major spacefaring nations. So here's a story, and it discusses how Russia and China are catching up to the United States in terms of space weaponry, according to a new report. So the global assessment kind of divides up the space weapons of the major spacefaring nations: the US, Russia, China, India, Australia, France, Iran, Israel, Japan, North Korea, South Korea. I think this must be the United Kingdom over here, and assesses their capabilities. Now, the thing is that these estimates are based on known conventional weapon systems. And so while it is very true that Russia and China are catching up to the US in space weapons in these kind of conventional weapon systems like satellites and anti-satellite weapons and electronic jamming satellites and so forth, that when it comes to exotic weapons categories or secret space programs, the United States is still way ahead. And the reason for that is because the United States has been so good at maintaining its secrecy system. I mean, China is well known, and I wrote a book about China's secret space program, Rise of the Red Dragon, that came out in 2020. And in that book, I just laid out the history of China's secret space program, how it began from this former US Chinese scientist, Dr. Shen Shu-shen, who became the father of China's space program, and how there was always an attempt to bridge the enormous gap between China and the United States and Russia in terms of secret space programs. And it was only in the 1980s and 90s when China started to get the benefit from its opening up or having lots of Western corporations coming in and using China to set up factories and so forth, that China began to accumulate resources so that it could then embark on its own attempt to start up a secret space program that could rival what the US had achieved and what Russia had achieved. And I have interviewed a Russian scientist, Dr. Anton Anfilov, and he says that while Russia and the United States had similar histories in terms of the study of the retrieved Nazi flying saucers and retrieving of crashed UFOs, that the United States' technological superiority meant that Russia's space program was always behind the US. And this is, I think, a significant factor for why you had the end of the Cold War, that Russia couldn't keep up with the United States. And the thing is with these kinds of exotic weapon systems is that the more advanced your technologies, I mean now you have quantum computing, AI, intelligence, and so forth. These are things that the secret space programs have been using for decades. And so for 30, 40 years, the US secret space program has been using quantum computers, AI to some extent for its secret space program. And so they're way ahead of both Russia and China. China has been playing catch up for a long time. So even though in conventional weapons, researchers look at China and Russia as kind of like getting close to parity with the United States, as far as exotic weapon systems and secret space programs are concerned, the US is still way ahead, which is why the US was chosen at a meeting of 14 major spacefaring nations that met above Jupiter in 2021, that they had a meeting and that the galactics, the different galactic organizations, said that they wanted one nation on Earth to be like the chairman or the focal point, the coordinator for all the other nations. And they chose the United States because the United States is so far ahead. But nevertheless, China is trying to catch up, and Russia is still in the ballpark in terms of secret space programs. But in terms of economies, China's economy rivals or even exceeds the United States. So if anyone is ever going to catch up to the United States and even develop more powerful secret space programs and exotic weapon systems in space, it's going to be China. But it's going to take at least 40 years for that to happen, according to estimates that have been conducted by space experts and military planners doing white papers on the US and China secret space or US and Chinese space programs. Okay, so here's something that I was very impressed. This was a presentation by Gene Decode. That's a pseudonym for someone who worked in the US Navy for 20 years. So he reached, he was a non-commissioned officer, or I guess a chief petty officer with the US Navy. And he did what I thought was a really excellent presentation on the deep underground military bases. And he put together a lot of data that is well worth looking at. And I thought it was very good in terms of presenting all the available data known about these deep underground military bases. So that's Gene Decode. So he is someone I'm in touch with, and I do plan to do one or more interviews with him in the future where we discuss his presentation on deep underground military bases, because he does have excellent military training and background. and his analysis of the data is and of the different sources is well worth watching. Okay, so here's something that really got my attention, and I need to be very careful in what I say here, but you can see what is happening. And you know, these are people suffering cardiac arrests, and a lot of these people are young people suffering cardiac arrests. And of course, not all of the people collapsing here are dying, but many do. And this leads to sudden adult death syndrome, which is out there. It's a category that the scientific or the medical establishment have been pushing, which is, you know, really ridiculous when you think about it. It's like something that they want to cover up concerning the thing that people were forced to put into themselves, that is being covered up, that data. And so they come up with a label, the category sudden adult death syndrome. So well worth being open to this data. Now, what does it have to do with exopolitics? I think that there is a connection in terms of altering human DNA. You know, there are those that believe human DNA needs to be altered in some way to make it to make us upgradable for whether it's transhumanism or whether there's some other agenda. And apparently, you know, these things that you put into you, they actually are gene altering. And so apparently that is going to make it possible for some kind of gene alteration on a large planetary scale for people who have taken that. Okay, so very worth pursuing that. Okay, so here's something from Congressman Tim Burchett, and this is where he says that the U.S. House of Representatives will hold more hearings on UFOs and hear from additional whistleblowers. So, you know, by this stage, and so this is what he said in an interview that has been held on News Nation with Ross Coulthard. He's got a program called Reality Check, and he did interview Tim Burchett, where he says that there is something in the pipeline in terms of more congressional hearings where new whistleblowers will come in. Now, it's worth mentioning here that what we've seen as far as official disclosure efforts are concerned is that the ARRO office, that's the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, and the Pentagon, it's very clear by now that they do not plan to disclose much at all about what's really going on with the UFOs. Even though there was an attempt, some openness there, it seems that the hardliners have won the day and they have stopped the ARRO office and the Pentagon from disclosing very much at all. So it's really up to the House of Representatives and Tim Burchett to, if there's going to be an official disclosure announcement, it's going to be because of the efforts of Burchett and other members of Congress to pry some of this information loose. Now, you know, they might be able to get some whistleblowers to come forward and reveal things in addition to what David Grush has already revealed. Good luck to them in doing that. Personally, I think official disclosure is probably going to happen after there's been some kind of catastrophic disclosure through these major global events involving visiting extraterrestrials, space arcs, inner Earth civilizations revealing themselves and so forth. I think there is going to be a catastrophic disclosure because I think that the extraterrestrials and the inner Earth beings, the crypto-terrestrials and so forth that are monitoring our planet, they understand quite well that those people that are interested in this topic, that the vast majority want disclosure and that the small minority that are controlling the information, that they are really just a small minority and that they have vested interests. And because the majority of humanity is asleep. I mean, so we're talking, say, maybe 90% of humanity are asleep, and maybe you only have like 10% of the rest of humanity that cares about this issue. Well, the vast majority of that 10%, let's just say 9 out of that 10%, maybe 9.5 of that vast majority, they want disclosure. But that 0.1% that are the elites, they do not want the disclosure to happen. So that's, I will be playing something from Tim Burchett very soon, but let's move to the next story. So this concerns the April 8 total solar eclipse. Now one of the things to clarify here is that solar eclipses are common. What's not common is when a solar eclipse passes through a particular country. So for the United States, you have a total solar eclipse in 2017, and prior to that, I think it was 1989 where you had another total solar eclipse in the United States, and that's where you have the that kind of belt of the total eclipse that is actually that belt is. Well, it looks like the Epoch Times wants me to sign in. Okay, well, we'll kind of ignore that for now. So that belt of viewability of the total eclipse spans the United States. So in 2017, it crossed all across the United States, and in 2024, it's going to crisscross the United States. Starting from the south and moving up to the north. Now, prior to that, there was a total solar eclipse in, I believe it was 1989. So these total solar eclipses, they will pass over specific areas of our planet. It doesn't happen every year. It happens every 10, 20, 30, 40 years even. And for smaller countries, it might happen once in a century. So the band of the total solar eclipse is interesting. And so what's happened is that the Indiana governor has issued a statewide emergency declaration for the April 8 total solar eclipse. Now, that's kind of very unusual, because while you can maybe make a case that, well, there's going to be a lot of out-of-state visitors coming in, and maybe the infrastructure of Indiana will be overburdened, but there are other things happening on that day that makes it sound like there's something more at play here. For example, you have three sounding rockets that NASA is putting up there that on the day of the solar eclipse. So why is NASA sending three sounding rockets, launching those into the atmosphere during the total solar eclipse in the United States? One plausible answer is that they do not want people to see something, or to be able to come up with a plausible explanation in case people see something up there that they're not supposed to see. And NASA can always say, oh, well, you were just seeing the plume of the sounding rockets that went up there. So that's very unusual. And it's not just the state of Indiana. Also, there have been emergency declarations and mobilization of the National Guard in other states as well, and that these will carry over to the total solar eclipse. And so it will be very interesting to see this. The total solar eclipse is going to happen on Monday, April 8th. So in 2 days' time, we'll find out what all the fuss was about. Okay, so here's an interview I did with Craig Campobasso, who is an award-winning filmmaker. And he has written a book called The Extraterrestrial Almanac. And he examined, I think it was just over 80 extraterrestrial races. There you go, 82 extraterrestrial races. Now, Craig is someone who's an accomplished filmmaker. He's worked with some really major Hollywood producers, such as Dino De Laurentiis and David Lynch, and worked with A-list actors like Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, you know, he's really connected to the to that whole Hollywood industry. I mean, that today might be actually a bad thing, but it does mean that he knows all about script writing and casting. He's a casting director. He's been a casting director for decades now. So he's wanting to make films, he's making films and documentaries about extraterrestrial contact. And so that's what he wants to do. He wants to make a new film that presents to people the different extraterrestrial civilizations visiting our planet. So very interesting that he is doing that. Now we have this video clip that I wanted to play you from Congressman Tim Burchett, where he was approached by an unnamed public official, doesn't say who it was, who was really trying to warn Burchett off, saying, look, you shouldn't pursue this UFO transparency thing because it wouldn't be a good thing. People would riot. So I think what Tim Burchett had to say in response to that is well worth listening to. So let's play that clip, Jazz.
People would riot. I mean, I was told that, you know, it was kind of weird. I was in the tunnel, one of the tunnels, Capitol. They're public, you know, and they're open now since COVID, whatever, after COVID. But, and it was kind of weird. A guy walked up to me that I knew and said, you know, Tim, he said, we really don't need to put this stuff out. And I was like, what? Mm. He said, yeah. He said, people couldn't handle it. There'd be riots. And I'm like, riots by who? You know, I could go to East Knoxville and have a forum on it. I could go to West Knoxville and have a forum. I could go to Loudoun, Lenore City, Dandridge, you know, wherever. I can Claiborne County or Granger County. You know what? People would say, I think there's something out there. I want to know the dadgum answer. I don't care their color, their socioeconomic background, or anything else.
I agree. I know we're basically already touching up on it, but with the UAP task force set up, is there a consensus that this is non-human intelligence, that these are not anything relative to this earth or created on this earth?
Among congressmen, there is, I feel. But but I don't believe in the intelligence community they're permitted to say that.
So there you have it. Tim Burchett really explains what is happening within the halls of Congress. Members of Congress are being approached by people, officials saying, oh, you know, this is not a good idea, that, you know, this whole UFO disclosure transparency thing, getting people excited over the possibility that we're being visited by extraterrestrials, that's not something you should be discussing, that's not something you should be pushing, which is why there hasn't been major advances, I think, since that July 2023 UFO hearing in Congress, because it was laid out there. I mean, there you had David Grush spelling out that, yes, that their craft have been retrieved and their non-human intelligence are involved with those. And members of Congress were told in private or in classified SCIF facilities that, all this data is real, and the Inspector General for the Office of National Intelligence, he also confirmed that there was truth to all these claims that Grush was making, but Congress hasn't really made much progress, and it's just a few members of Congress, people like Tim Burchett, Anna Luna, and a few others. And I think we now know from Tim Burchett why that's the case. I mean, this should be snowballing in Congress. I mean, members of Congress should be like jumping on the bandwagon and say there's truth to this. But instead, we just have a few members of Congress kind of trying to move the issue forward, but it's getting harder and harder. And again, that's why I think we really shouldn't put our hopes into any kind of official disclosure happening soon. I think that opportunity has passed. It's going to have to be some kind of catastrophic disclosure. Okay, so here is an announcement concerning China's International Lunar Research Station initiative. Thailand has just signed on. So it's the ninth nation now that signed this initiative that began with China and Russia announcing it in St. Petersburg, Russia, and then Venezuela, Pakistan, Azerbaijan, Belarus, South Africa, and Egypt have all joined. And what this is doing, this is the beginning of a separate civilian / military space alliance, one that will be headed by China along with Russia, and the other one that is being headed by the United States. And the United States initiated the Artemis Accords, which currently has 36 spacefaring nations, major nations, so France, Germany, Italy, Canada, United Kingdom, Australia. They've all signed on to the Artemis Accords. But that's the main kind of multinational civilian space enterprise that's happening. But in association with the Artemis Accords, there is also a military initiative, and that's called the Joint Space Operations Initiative. And so you have some of the bigger countries, like the Five Eyes nations, Australia, Britain, Canada, United States, joined by France, Britain, Italy, Japan, and so forth, that they are setting up a military space alliance. And I have said in the past that that is going to become the core of a Starfleet. Well, China, with the assistance of Russia, is doing something similar. And it is setting up its own civilian / military alliance. And China's space program is a military space program. So when countries sign on to this China-led space program, it really is a joint civilian-military initiative. And that's very interesting because in 2019, there was a Space Futures Workshop at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado that was convened by what was then called the U.S. Air Force Space Command, which was reconstituted or rebranded as the United States Space Force. And they envisaged, they kind of mapped out what is going to happen over the next 40 years. And they predicted that by 2060, that there would be eight viable scenarios. And three of the scenarios involve the United States being the dominant space power, and the most desirable of those was a Star Trek future. But another three scenarios envisaged a future where China would be the dominant space power, not Russia, but China. So we're seeing the beginnings of that now, that you're having two rival space blocks that are forming. For now, the United States Artemis Accords and its Joint Space Command initiative, that's the military aspect that's behind it, is the dominant. But as the years and decades roll on, we could expect the Chinese program evolving, becoming a much more powerful military civilian space alliance involving many nations from the global south that have signed on. Now, the key in all of this, and I talked about it earlier, is, well, who has the most powerful, most exotic space weapons, secret space programs, and so forth? For the moment, that's the United States, undoubtedly. Russia and China are lagging behind, as I mentioned. But China has the resources to be able to bridge that gap. And so over the next decades that are ahead, there's going to be a continued space race to see who becomes the dominant space nation and who becomes and what becomes the biggest, most influential space alliance. So, you know, in a way, Earth history is repeating itself. I mean, for much of my adult life, I mean, I grew up and you had NATO and you had the Warsaw Pact. That was, I grew up with that. I thought that that would last forever, and of course it didn't. So what's going to happen is that we're going to see something very similar, apparently, in space, unless something dramatic happens. Okay, so here's a video that was created by none other than JP. So JP has created an Instagram account, a YouTube account, and he's also got a Twitter account now. And so people can watch JP sharing his reflections on his missions and using things to illustrate those missions. So that's JP really wanting to be able to communicate more directly with people. I mean, I'll still continue to do updates with JP, but he will also be putting out these kind of smaller videos, photographs, whatever he feels is appropriate that he wants to discuss, that illustrate or take up what we have discussed earlier in some of our updates. So yeah, definitely you can watch this. I think JP is talking about the importance of space arcs and what they mean for the future. And so well worth going to that. And JP's YouTube channel, for those that don't know, it's just JP1. So JP three times and then the numeral one. And that's his channel. Okay, so, and here is something that I thought was very, it was a wonderful thing to happen. It was, it's a French rapper who was inspired, Okay, let's go. So there was a French rapper who was inspired by Elena Danan's book, Area 51, where she talks about the life of Stephen Chua, a Singaporean super soldier. And he described in interviews or in private conversations and in one major interview he did with Elena his life as a super soldier, how he was recruited, how he had these abilities that that they were recognized not just by the Singaporean government but also by other major governments, including the United States. And eventually he was seconded to the United States for a period of time to help the Air Force master the technologies for a mind technology interface for piloting these specially modified F-15s. I think they were the F-15F. And so Stephen Chua also interacted with extraterrestrials, either worked with them at places like Area 51 or even fought battles against them. And so he described his battles against some reptilian extraterrestrials. So that's all in the book Area 51, and definitely if you haven't got that yet, you should get it. I mean, Stephen Chua is a very real person. He was a whistleblower, and unfortunately he died before he was able to do additional interviews to that one that he did with Elena, and I think that was back in 2021. So yeah, this is a moving tribute to him by this French rapper. And so yeah, definitely you can take a look at that. Now the rapper's name is Giovan, apparently very, very popular in France. So you can just go to my tweet and I retweeted Elena's tweet where she actually has the YouTube link for that. So that is it for XR Politics today, for April 6th. I hope you've enjoyed the coverage of this week. There's going to be some major announcements over the next week, so get ready for that. And of course, we have the eclipse on April 8th. So, you know, keep your eyes in the sky and don't forget to like, share, and support this video and get it out there to as many people as possible. So thank you for watching and aloha.
You have been listening to Exopolitics Today with Dr. Michael Sala. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe to this channel. Join or start a conversation in the comments. Take the time to explore the vast library of best-selling books, webinars, and podcasts by Dr. Sala. Visit exopoliticstoday.com.